Hello and welcome to The Joy of Yes with me, Graham Pate, and my very special guest, Quinn Contini.
I used to play the Christmas boy, who's actually, there's probably a bit of Lucien in, there's definitely part of Lucien is inspired by the Christmas boy. The Christmas boy was a riot. At Loose Moose every year, they do a show called the Christmas Carol, which is the most bastardized version of the Christmas Carol you have ever seen. And the Christmas boy, who in the Christmas Carol makes one appearance, Scrooge pops out the window and says, "What day is it?" The Christmas boy says, "It's Christmas Day." And then Scrooge throws money at him and says, "Go get me a turkey."
As you do.
That's the Christmas boy. Mm. The Christmas boy in the Loose Moose show, and Ken Gardner is who I learned the Christmas boy from. I know that he's the one that mastered the Christmas boy, the character. But it was his adaptation from somebody else's Christmas boy. I don't remember who. So I learned it from Ken. And Ken is a wonder. Ken was my boss working construction for years and years and years. And also one of my many mentors at Loose Moose. As an improviser, but the Christmas boy scene in the Christmas Carol has expanded to 20 minutes of the show. And the goal of the Christmas boy is to make Scrooge, the human, whoever's playing Scrooge, want to quit theater. So your goal as the Christmas boy is to make whoever is playing Scrooge lose it and leave the stage, like leave the theater. And all the play that you get in it is absolutely ridiculous.
A lot of ugly sweatering in some way.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I remember Scrooge would scribble something on a piece of paper, the directions of where the turkey is. So he'd be like, "Go get me a turkey."
"Well, where's the turkey?" "That's the Christmas boy's voice." "Okay. Yeah, okay. That's the Christmas boy."
And Scrooge would be like, "Where's the turkey?" Or, "Go get the turkey."
"Well, I don't know where to get it."
"Okay, I'll write it down for you." He writes it down on a piece of paper and he gives it over to the Christmas boy. And Christmas boy takes it and just goes, looks at the paper.
"You just scribble. It's not even words."
And shows it to the audience, and sure enough, it scribbles, and the audience loses it. It was just the epitome, I think, of pointing out the obvious. Like, just being so absolutely, literal. Oh, it was funny.
I have to say, speaking about being literal, that's one of the joys that I find when I'm watching improv. I mean, Paul Blinov is a perfect example of observational humor, but saying the obvious, which is so funny.
It's so funny because we're all thinking it. Hmm. That made me think of a time where I was doing a scene at Rapid Fire, and I think we got doctor's office or something. And I just went on autopilot and I put some doctor's gloves on, and then I went to the sink and I started washing my hands. But I had already put gloves on. And I caught myself while washing my hands. I just started shaking my head, and the audience just started laughing. And I was doing a scene with Hunter. I remember because I look over at Hunter, and he's sitting there in the patient chair crying and trying to hold it in. And I finished washing my hands, and I turned off the tap, and I took the gloves off and threw them out. And then I addressed the patient and the lights came down. It's like, it's all it needed to be. I'm glad the lights came down, but I still laugh about it. He was laughing so hard watching Hunter cry. It was the stupidest thing. The stupidest thing in the world, but I love it when your brain just goes on autopilot and then you just sit in it and you're like, "Okay, yeah, I did it, and here I am, and I'm going to have to deal with it."
God. That is really
a beautiful thing, but it was so stupid. It was so stupid, but so funny.
You use silence very well in scenes.
I've seen you come on stage and say nothing for like 2 minutes, and it's just your eyes or your face, or you're tasking and doing something, which I find really exciting, because that's something I really want to work on, is to use silence more.
And people don't do it often, but we have it in real life all the time. It's the most beautiful thing, silence on stage.
How long can we stretch
that's
that?
That's exactly it.
It makes you laugh.
The feeling on stage, yeah, it makes you laugh, because it's just tension. You're just building the tension. And so when you break it, people have this collective breath. You can feel it in the audience. Everyone going,
And what you can't see on this podcast is that two of us are looking at each other. Well, who's going to go first?
Absolutely.
I knew I'd break first. I have no willpower.
I have no willpower. Yeah, that's something I did. That was a goal of mine for a really long time, was play with silence more. But you see it, everyone's talky. Mm. When we're panicked, we immediately rely on our voices. As improvisers, our voices are what generally saves us on stage. Not our physicality, not our emotion. It's words, but they trap us more often than not.
Yeah.
I took a Meisner class when I was in Germany just recently. And the teacher was phenomenal. I wrote like 7 pages of notes, but it was just like one quote after another that I was just like, of course. And things that I'd heard before, but that didn't really like sink in until this class. But it's like the fact that words are placeholders for behavior. Words are placeholders for what's actually going on inside of us, because that's how we communicate. But that really stuck with me. I was like, yeah, of course they are. And of course we rely on them. Because when we feel panicked, we go into our heads and we rely on our words to save us instead of just sitting with it. I think so many things in improv are counterintuitive to what we actually think. Shut up, absolutely. Shut up. Take 3 deep breaths. Let your brain relax. Like, we know that when our brains are panicked, that when they're under stress, they don't work as well. It's called the anger arousal cycle. Like, it's been studied there. And yeah, but we don't do it, because how can you think of that when your brain is under stress, you know? So we have to train ourselves. I like to think about it. I was listening to an interview from a very famous adventure photographer, I think Jimmy Chin. He said, you have to learn to be comfortable being uncomfortable. And that I really liked. Because really, only then are you fully comfortable.
Quinn, thank you so much for spending time with me.
Thank you. No, that was so fun.
Thank you for listening to The Joy of Yes with me, Graham Pate, and my incredibly funny and well-dressed friend, Quinn Contini.
Thanks for having me.
You're welcome.